Welcome to Truth Be Told. Today we will be talking about UFOs. But today we're going to be tapping into perhaps one of the most unlikely sources for UFO information, at least that's what we thought, the Nation of Islam. Like other UFO and extraterrestrial religions, the Nation of Islam emphasizes scientific, material, and empirical evidence for the basis of their beliefs over spiritual and supernatural understandings of religion. So Tony, based on that, he's got our attention.
Well, let's see what else he has to say. As I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron, and welcome to the Truth Be Told Studios, Ilya Rashad Mohammed. There he is. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, we are excited to have you here. We have to say, for the first time, we're always looking for new opportunities for new types of shows and new opportunities for genres we haven't touched yet. I mean, we've touched UFOs many times, but we have never talked to anybody from the Nation of Islam, and we're both really blown away by the knowledge that the Nation of Islam says that they have on UFOs. So we're going to get started right there. Ron, go ahead and get the first question started there.
Well, yeah, right out the gate, Tony, like you said, it's just such an interesting place. Me and Tony don't really know. We're not that familiar with the Nation of Islam. You know, you hear a few headlines, and that's the extent of what we know.
Right.
And here this book comes out that you guys have this part of your core belief. It ties into the UFO thing. So, well, why don't we just start off right there? I know you guys have a lot of misconceptions you feel are out there about UFOs. Why don't you set us straight on that?
Okay. Now, you know that's something that certainly can't be done in 1 minute.
Right.
However,
you have 30 seconds. Go.
And go.
Just to give a general background, the Nation of Islam, since its inception here in the West, began in 1930, where in 1931, Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, met this man by the name of Master Fadr Muhammad, a man whom we in the Nation of Islam recognize as being what is called the Mahdi, or the self-guided one who is prophesied to come in the Muslim world, who is literally a representation of God in person. And this God in person taught Elijah Muhammad, a man with a third or fourth grade education, taught him things that this world had yet to discover. Among those many, many scientific truths and realities that have become evident later was the reality of a huge circular man-made craft that Master Fadr Muhammad pointed out to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, gave him the intricate details concerning this craft, along with its 1,500 smaller wheel-shaped crafts that have tremendous power, fly at phenomenal speeds of just unfathomable maneuverability, but at the root of it is all in fulfillment of the prophecies as laid out in the Judeo-Christian prophecies as well as the Islamic prophecies of the scripture, all of which depict God and his angels operating from some type of heavenly celestial vestals. And we believe and recognize that this UFO phenomena is the fulfillment of those prophecies.
This is the Ezekiel wheel within wheels thing from the Bible, correct?
It encompasses the Ezekiel's wheel, but not limited to. For all throughout those sacred texts, we find where this God figure is depicted, you know, operating from some heavenly vessel, whether it's deemed as clouds, whether they're deemed as chariots, as in the case of Elijah in the Old Testament, Jesus in clouds, Moses in clouds by days and pillars of fire by night. Other prophets of old describe them as a throne. And you also hear about New Jerusalem and all of these type of symbolic symbolic nomenclature referring to God's operating vessel. So again, we recognize that what has now become known as the UFO phenomena is the fulfillment of what those prophecies and scriptures have long talked about.
Yeah. Now it's what's interesting is in the UFO community, it's oftentimes there's these hard, you know, real world craft that come from another planet, interplanetary. Then there's the new interdimensional aspect of that. It's much lesser spoke about that these UFOs are built by humans. And that's what you're saying, that this belief is that they were actually built by humans in the distant past?
Not necessarily in the distant past, although the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was given those ancient secrets and shown the reality of this craft, along with the myriad other smaller crafts, he did speak that this type of technology was available to the ancient people here on Earth, you know, thousands, better yet, even millions of years ago. However, he also stated that that wisdom and knowledge had been buried for the last approximately 6,000 years or so, until the reappearance of God, whom he claims he met in the person of Master Fadhr Muhammad. And you may find it interesting, guys, that the UFO phenomena, the modern UFO phenomena, which many would credit started in, say, the 40s, it actually started with the advent of the Nation of Islam, you know, who had really introduced this reality to the modern world.
Well, this is fascinating, Tony, because, you know, Roswell was 47. That was the first real big push known. And this started in 1930. Right. So we're talking 17 years before that's when this sort of took place. Yes. So that's...
Well, is there any connection, I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there, any connection to, like, the Atlantis? Because, you know, the technology supposedly was there then and then lost, of course, for thousands of years. What's your thoughts with the Nation of Islam on that?
Well, this speaks to the fact that there have been many lost civilizations. Again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan have shown and teach us that our people had vast advanced civilizations on this earth, you know, several thousand, even several millions of years ago. But of course, again, that knowledge, that wisdom had been buried in somewhat of a devolution of humanity,
right?
Where humanity basically went to sleep, if you will. and so even the Holy Quran speaks of these lost cities and things like that. So it just speaks to the fact that there were ancient civilizations, ancient cities that were highly advanced. And that advancement did include flight technology.
Wow.
That's in the India, Baharaha, or whatever that's called, and that kind of thing, too, right?
Yeah.
You guys say you debunk a lot of the common... What are some of the things that people think about UFOs that you would say are not correct?
Well, perhaps the most... the main misconception of UFOs that we demystify is the notion that this technology is of extraterrestrial origin. That is the leading belief among, you know, common people and those who dibble and dabble in UFO research. It is believed that this technology, which has been exhibited, I mean, eons of time ahead of conventional technology and wisdom. So there's this belief that this has to be from another world. And the reason being is because those responsible for that technology, even though they are from this earth, the wisdom that they have is of that ancient wisdom that has not been revealed to conventional wisdom and conventional education and governments of this world. That is the wisdom, part of the wisdom that was introduced to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by this God in person, Master Fadhr Muhammad. And this, in truth, is to serve as practical evidence that the Supreme Being has intervened in the affairs of humanity, where you have this Georgia-born black man, really a child of slaves, who, with a third or fourth grade education, literally became the most powerful black man in America, you know? And he did it, and he credits all of this to this man, this God in person. He literally claims he met God in person, and all of these things, all of these truths that he revealed that are now becoming very manifest, he credits it to God in person.
Tony, in a way, it's almost like a less of a leap to say that humans built it in the past as opposed to leaping that aliens built it.
But that goes to the question is, where did the human beings be created from? Were they? Because, you know, we've heard, we've heard it, you know, everything from
God
Anunnaki,
created us in their image.
In their image, Anunnakis, and, you know, it goes back. So do you, Nation of Islam, believe in off-world beings at all?
Oh, we certainly recognize and believe that there is life on most, if not all, of the other planets.
Okay.
You know, whether that life is, you know, humanoid type life or if it's microbial.
Right.
We recognize that there is life on other planets. However, the technology that we see exhibited in these circular crafts that are called UFOs, those that introduced this reality to the modern world told us and let us know that this is of human origin. Hmm. However, the humans responsible for this are humans who, for lack of a better term, have not been corrupted by this world's miseducation, by this world's corruption, but these are people who have literally been taught by God in person. In fact, those who control those smaller wheels, those are what the Bible and the scriptures would refer to as angels. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to them also as scientists, because it takes the mysticism out of everything, you know? So yes, they're angels, but these are not angels that have been depicted, you know, by Hollywood, Cupid looking people with wings on their back and arrows and all of that.
We've heard that before, though, Tony. We've heard before that the wings were just representations of flight.
Yeah.
Right. Wings. In fact, in some of the Semitic languages, like Arabic, I believe one of the words for wings, it may be in Arabic, jana, something like that, but it literally means power, like propulsion. Mm. So there is so much in that. But yes, these humans are scientists. It's nothing magical. They just happen to be taught and trained in such a way that makes their capabilities much more superior than those of us, you know, within the
conventional world. Trained by who?
Yeah, true.
This God in person, Master Fadhrak Muhammad. Now, be mindful, this is documented. The Nation of Islam's connection and belief in these wheel-shaped planes goes back to the 1930s and is documented as such because early on, especially in Detroit, where the Nation of Islam started, there were many conflicts and confrontations with the authorities in Detroit, much of which led to physical confrontations. And out of these confrontations led to many investigations into the early Muslims of the Nation of Islam. And the authorities got acquainted with what could be deemed our strange teaching because they had never heard anything like this before, talking about black people being the original people of the planet Earth. You know, black people being the direct descendants of God and all of this. You know, you could imagine how this sounded in the 1930s. Elijah Muhammad teaching how the earth and the moon were once part one and the same, but due to a cataclysmic explosion that happened several trillion years ago, it resulted in what is now the moon in its orbit, and this part remaining here on Earth. So that sounded outlandish in 1930, though...
It sounds outlandish now, I got to tell you.
Actually,
I'm sure a lot of people today still have a hard time grasping all of this. That's a lot to take.
Well, for those who are not of a scientific astronomical mind, because the leading theory among NASA scientists and among your leading astronomers is that the moon and the Earth were once part of the same. That's their leading theories, you know, and they agree that it was some type of cataclysmic explosion that took place. They don't know exactly how or what, but that resulted in our satellite, the moon, being placed in the orbit that it currently is.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it come from Earth or hit the Earth and then caught there. Right. There's been this.
And be mindful, these are just some of those things was shown and taught to Elijah Muhammad, this man with a fourth grade education. But perhaps one of the things that's most relevant to what we're discussing today would be the fact that this human anthropomorphic God in person pointed out to him this strange, huge plane and showed him, illustrated to him, and gave him the intricate details of these planes. And Elijah Muhammad was also acquainted with some of those who operate these planes that he calls scientists.
Brother Sweet, I love how he refers to them as mother wheel, giant mother wheel, planes. And that's what we would typically call UFOs.
Right.
Saucers. It's the same thing, right?
Right. Yeah. These wheel-shaped planes. And the reason you may hear us use the term wheels, you may hear Minister Farrakhan use the term wheels, is because the planes that we are referring to are primarily wheels, circular-shaped, disc-shaped, if you will. And that terminology, as you mentioned earlier, Captain Ron, comes from the biblical text, Ezekiel. Most notably that of Ezekiel, who described these prophetic planes as wheels. Which, by the way, in that biblical text, he described them as being lifted from the earth, not necessarily coming from outer space.
Yeah. Well, I want to move a little bit to in 1930, but after the FBI was created. Didn't the FBI come seeking? Because I was really curious to how the government, because we hear this all the time. Why won't the government just let us know the truth? So I know you had a mosque that was actually raided by the FBI back in the day. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, this is after the Battle of L.A., I think.
I want to talk about the Battle of Los Angeles, too.
And part of this is before the Battle of L.A. And you'll notice that for some strange reason, many of our mosques and temples have been raided by authorities throughout the Nation of Islam's existence. But needless to say, there were several confrontations in the early 30s. And there was one in particular in 1942. And of course, this took place after the Battle of Los Angeles, because the Battle of Los Angeles, for I'm certain you and your very enlightened listeners are familiar with, that was an episode in February of 1942, where a huge circular UFO was seen just off the coast of Los Angeles that garnered the attention of the U.S. Armed Forces, who came and attempted to intercept this huge, anomalous-looking object that was stationed amidst the clouds. They fired, I think, over 1,400 rounds of very heavy anti-aircraft artillery at the huge object, and the huge object went nowhere. It didn't budge at all, showing that this was clearly a very, very superior type of technology around. And there were also smaller objects sighted that were said to have been moving in erratic positions. Needless to say, that left the country, particularly the Roosevelt administration and the U.S. military, dumbfounded. And after that incident where the U.S. government literally encountered this huge circular object, they underwent an investigation. Naturally, they thought that it could have been Japan or, who knows, Germany or some other foreign nation that America was having conflicts with. However, all of their investigations prove that no other country could have had a technology this advanced, because if they did, they could have obliterated America right then and there. However, their investigations led to the only person and entity that was on record for teaching about these circular crafts. And so this led to the investigation and arrest of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about 2.5 months after the Battle of Los Angeles. They, the FBI, questioned Elijah Muhammad about these planes and about that wheel-like object over Los Angeles. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told them exactly what it was. He let the FBI know that he represents that plane. The FBI confiscated the illustrations from the mosque when they raided it, the illustrations regarding the wheel and the the other wheel-shaped crafts. And this led to not only them arresting and interrogating and admitting to Elijah Muhammad that they encountered it, but they also locked him up for about 5 years because they did not want him teaching this truth while they were prosecuting a war against Japan. So this really can be considered, and please excuse the.
That's all right. That's
I'm the only one that still has a house phone these days.
What's that landline thing? Yeah, what is that?
What does that mean? Yeah. What's that sound?
But this literally can be considered the beginning of the official UFO cover-up. Mm. It started with the arrest and silencing of Elijah Muhammad.
I could go with that one. I'm on board with that. You had something else about this too, Tony, right?
Well, I mean, my thing is, I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit, but because of where was I going with this? What I'm trying to understand is the technology that you think that they want to hide? Because when the Wright brothers, created the first plane, well, now we're in the sky. So what we mastered that. In the public eye, why would we even want to hide that we could fly or, go into the sky? Now we're going with technology into space. Why would we want to continue to hide the UFO phenomena? Why do you think that is still being hidden when we've passed technology in the last 100 years by a mile? So,
excellent question. And I would assert that the main reason why those in power desire to keep this reality hidden from the public is because it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a power and intelligence, a wisdom, and a sovereignty far greater than the governments and militaries of this world. And even more damning, if you will, is the notion that this power is represented by the children of slaves, Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whom world powers literally hate the fact that he is a black man telling this kind of truth. Right. And he has publicly and continuously acknowledged his direct connection to these planes. Yet you'll find that intelligent people like yourselves have been kept away from this very public information.
See, now he's lost his credibility with me, Tony. I just went out the window.
Hey, so here's a man, and you should think that there has to be something to this, because whether you like him, whether you love him or hate him, the fact is, Minister Farrakhan, those in power don't necessarily like him. And they have worked diligently to keep his voice silenced from the people.
As they do for all UFO different
beliefs. We're going to go as a white men, Captain Ron, if you didn't know, Ron and I are white. But
I didn't know that, man.
right, I know.
You're blowing my mind here, bro.
But they did that to all African-Americans and black people and, Africans, because if you think about it, they try to keep Martin Luther King quiet, Malcolm X quiet. I mean, pretty much everybody, and how many people, black people invented so many different inventions for America, and we didn't know about it. We didn't get taught about that in school. So yeah, they've been doing that to every black.
And you know what, Tony? Nowhere in modern history has any leader of this stature, black or white or anything in between, has been as blatantly censored by the world's power structures as Minister Farrakhan. Here's a man who has literally had the U.S. Senate, perhaps the most powerful legislative body in the free world, censored him. And when they censor somebody, you know, that means they don't want anybody to even listen to what he has to say.
Right.
Here's a man who has been banned from entering the UK. You have world governments who colluded to keep this black man who doesn't even carry weapons, nor do any of those who follow him carry as much as a pen knife. But yet they ban him from entering the UK. Here's a man who's been blocked from Facebook, blocked from Instagram, had his Twitter account blocked, blocked from the mainstream media. Many of his books and those books that represent him have been banned from Amazon. So we've never in history, in modern history, seen any leader have this much attention at keeping people from hearing what he or she has to say as they have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So for a person of his stature to, for decades, publicly exclaim his relationship to these so-called UFOs, and yet his staunchest critics don't even bother to deal with it, I think that should tell intelligent people like you all that there's something strange about this.
Well, here's something strange about all this. It seems to me like you guys say that the belief is that mankind created this giant UFO with little UFOs inside of it sometime in our past. If they're human and they're scientists, I think you're saying they were calling them scientists, why is there no connection to regular people to them? Why aren't these scientists talking to us? Why is this all a secret? And why is this all not, why can't we see them or meet them or interact with them? If they're human beings and they're scientists, you think they would reach out and come on the show?
There have been interactions with regular people. That's what you call encounters. In some cases, abductions.
Okay.
Yeah, but those typically they look like an alien being, not a human. I very rarely do you hear of a human.
Moreover, these planes actually have an official representative on this earth. That is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is. He is the official representative of that technology, of that wisdom. And now Minister Farrakhan is the representative of that divine technology, that divine power. And this is what he has exclaimed and challenged the world scholars and government to try to dispute. Now, again, we're not dealing with, you know, crackpots who want to discuss these things on the basis of emotions, or even limit this discussion or argument to religious interpretations. Rather, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, we are more than willing to share, engage, discuss, even debate these realities with the best minds and scholars of the world.
I was going to ask.
We're not limited to, you know, religious interpretations. We would ask that the scholarship of the world really examine this reality that the Nation of Islam is purporting and examine it as you would pretty much any other body of knowledge, be it secular, scientific, or otherwise.
Well, the UFO community, we often hear scientists say that, why aren't science taking a serious look at this? We often hear that exact sentiment.
Right, right. And I remember watching an interview about Hollywood, because, you know, we're here in Los Angeles. We work around a lot of entertainment. And I do agree that, you know, Hollywood...
I feel sorry for you.
Right, right. But, you know, Hollywood, they do... I mean, they don't make movies and TV shows to just be normal. They would. That's why they invented the housewives of every pretty much city, because how many women do you actually know that are like that?
So they
do enhance. So how do you think that Hollywood has kind of polluted the minds of people? from day one.
Absolutely. As previously stated, I asserted that the arrest, silencing, and incarceration of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad really was the beginning of the official UFO cover-up, the global UFO cover-up. And to corroborate this cover-up, the U.S. has used its media cohorts to commandeer the narrative of UFO research. So now, and it's been stated that really leading in the 1950s became somewhat of a watershed decade for UFO movies, flying saucers, and all of these things. And most of those movies either depicted these crafts as being extraterrestrial, as being otherworldly, in some cases being demonic, but certainly Hollywood would never associate the reality of these planes and this technology with the black man and the entity of black people that introduced it to the modern world. So just as there has been an ongoing misinformation campaign to divert people's attention and distort the truth about the Nation of Islam, the same thing has been taking place with the reality of UFOs. And that is directly correlated.
I think that's fair. Okay, now I want to ask you a question here that your book, you guys say that this book has proof and documented evidence regarding the Nation of Islam's inherent relationship with modern UFOs. Why don't you share some of this proof to us now? Because it's hard. It's one thing telling us who are open to this, but it's very hard to tell people who are closed off to this. So what evidence do you have that any of this is real, besides some guy told somebody?
Thank you. So as I stated, we don't find where anyone, even to this day, has offered explanations with this level of specificity regarding the UFO phenomena other than the Nation of Islam. Not only do you not only find nobody else brings the delineates with specificity the truth about these UFO phenomena, but the Nation of Islam was the first to even bring it in the world. And that is
you sold me on that already. I've got that. I mean, you guys started in 1930, but I want you to give me something now that is hard.
And so, being that the Nation of Islam introduced this and delineated it now, gave the characteristics and been teaching it since the 1930s, our critics, even back then, labeled us a voodoo cult, you know, for teaching these things. But isn't it interesting that years later, when the UFO phenomena started to blow up, all of these things took place and these encounters and sightings would take place, and it fits the exact descriptions that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam gave before these things became popular or really seen in the world. This is before any mass sightings, before any official investigations and waves of sightings. So that right there gives really your foundational evidence. Moreover,
I give you that. That completely makes sense to me, and I get that, and I completely give credit to them. That makes sense. But what can I tell somebody that doesn't believe in this? Here's something to point to. Give me something tangible. You guys say that it's tangible evidence.
Okay, let me do somewhat recent history. Hell, I can go this past weekend. I was blessed to be with the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, where he gave a worldwide address.
This was in Chicago, this one?
Yes, yeah. Well, outside of Chicago at the farm, really in Michigan. And during that nearly three-hour address, Minister Farrakhan, among other things, again, exclaimed his connection to these wheels. And as he has done on several other occasions before, he put forth that you will see these wheels as soon as today, you know, after he speaks, to verify his credibility to verify these things. And lo and behold, and of course you didn't see this on the news, but right there in that Chicago area, there were sightings captured on video, some uploaded on YouTube. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the hoaxes. These are sightings where people during their 4th of July celebrations, you know, capturing these things on their smartphones, you know, just totally corroborating and verifying what Minister Farrakhan has said. And again, it would be one thing if this was an isolated incident, but this is commonplace when it comes to Minister Farrakhan. Let me reference you to 1989, where again, he gives an international press conference and address. And in the address, he ends it by talking about his direct connection to these wheels. And he challenged the government. He challenged his critics that if they wish to make mockery of him for the reality and his connection to these wheels, you will see these wheels over the major cities of America. That was in Washington, D.C. in October of 1989. Don't you know, and it's still on tape, that same day and the days following, there was a wave of UFO sightings right there in the D.C. area where he gave the press conference. And there were constant, it was ran on the local news for about 3 days straight. That was followed by a wave of sightings for the next few weeks throughout America over the major cities. However, as the news reporters discussed those segments dealing with these sightings, they made no mention whatsoever of Minister Farrakhan, who had just warned the world days before. So for those who may not be convinced because they don't want to read and study and understand the FBI investigations and all of that, for those who would just be mere observers, there is really no logical way that we can remain, you know, in disbelief after all of this evidence constantly puts forth in the right there in the open.
So the evidence is mostly sightings again, UFO sightings, just like some of these guys we saw, Robert Brigham calls UFOs and they come, that sort of a thing.
Not just sightings, but the fact that these sightings respond directly to Minister Farrakhan, a man who is the most scrutinized voice in Black America today. So, you know, let's be real. No. This man is scrutinized by the most powerful people in the world.
Do you think, because I know several presidents of the United States and even former prime ministers, you know, a lot of times when they're in office, they don't talk about their sightings. But one of the first presidents to really openly talk about it was Jimmy Carter, who talked openly about it. You know, yes. Reagan, even Nixon, Eisenhower, you know, many have seen him or supposedly met with, you know, aliens. So do you think that the Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad, the ones that have, did they actually not abducted, but get to fly in these crafts at all? Or do you feel that Nation of Islam is one of the fortunate religions or leaders that actually get to interact with them? Because like we've heard of other religious leaders that say that, you know, sightings will come when they speak. Or
right.
So do you think religious leaders maybe are in this together?
Well, I thought Farrakhan says he's been on the ship. He saw Elijah on the ship.
So that's what I'm curious that, with that is, because is it leaders and religious leaders, you know, government powers? I mean, how does that work?
Saying who gets to know about
this? Yeah, who gets to know about that? Because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of people that know about it, but who actually gets to know about it?
Right. And we want to have him on next Friday, 3 o'clock.
Yes, please.
And the world gets to know about it. Now, the Nation of Islam represents these planes, sure enough. However, these planes are not limited to only being sighted or encountered by those of us in the Nation of Islam. No, that's not how it works. In fact, if we look at it from a scriptural or prophetic perspective, we'll notice that throughout the scriptures and the prophecies, God has often shown his power really to his enemies and the oppressors, perhaps more than he's actually shown his power to his messengers and the believing community. And the reason is that because he often wants those in power, he wants to give them a chance to submit and do right so that they'll have no excuses. You know, that's the case of Moses and Pharaoh. You know, God showed his power with all these plagues and things like that, trying to give Pharaoh a chance. King Herod, pardon me. King Herod actually was able to see the signs of heaven, you know, the Baal prophets and things like that. So all throughout the scriptures, they're really replete with God showing his power to the oppressive rulers to give them a chance and to show them that there is a superior power in the world. And most of the time, the scriptures show us that those rulers, they don't listen.
Well, there you go.
And they, falling victim to God's judgment. Minister Farrakhan is not just some leader here on his own behalf.
Right.
He, as he has stated, and we verify, he is a man sent from God. He is the representative of that messianic divine force in the world. And many would like to use the excuse of his passion as an excuse not to listen and take heed to the wisdom and guidance that he's giving, not just to Black people, but really warnings for the world. And just like the scriptures and prophecy show us, most of those leaders reject the divine message of God's servant, despite giving outright proof of his power that's in the world.
You know, a lot of what you're saying reminds me a lot of Scientology. Have you heard comparisons with Scientology? I mean, these are new religions. This was born in 1930. Scientology was 1950. And they both have this UFO slash alien aspect to them when you get deeper into it as a core foundation. Do you guys hear that comparison ever?
Well, there are several belief systems that have now incorporated a ufological, you know, position into their belief system. But notice they've all come after the Nation of Islam, that is. And I've heard some comparisons, even though, you know, I can't speak for those other faith traditions and religions because they may believe in UFOs. In fact, whether you believe in any religion or not, I think it would be foolish to deny the existence of these wheel-shaped planes that have been sighted and recorded by hundreds of millions around the world. So look, you don't have to be a genius to accept the fact that there are some phenomenal crafts in this world that are beyond conventional understanding. So I don't know what all their belief system entails, but I can tell you what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan have represented for us.
Now, were you one of the first to actually write about this directly from the Nation of Islam? Or is there other books out there that represent Nation of Islam and UFOs?
There are several books. Now, remember, this has been an intrinsic part of our theology since the inception of the Nation of Islam. So you probably won't be able to find an authentic book or literature coming from the Nation of Islam that does not include, you know, this aspect of our teaching.
Right.
From all the publications of the nation in the early days, to Message to the Black Man, the books by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the old Muhammad Speaks newspapers, and now the Final Call newspaper. I mean, I'm certainly not the first. However, I think because of the time, and because of the overwhelming number of sightings and people not having a thorough explanation and understanding of this reality, I think that my book, that I've been blessed to do with the guidance of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is picking up more of an interest level, because it seems to answer and respond to that which has been kept a mystery for so many people.
You have an unlikely ally here in some of the UFO community. Like, there's a quote here from Farrakhan where he says, "Many have died or have been killed to keep from sharing what they've seen. We will drive the government of the United States to open their files and make it known to the American people the existence of this reality." That's if I amazing. Didn't say who said that, I said, if I said, you know, like Richard Dolan said that,
right,
we would believe that, because it's right out of the UFO community's belief.
And let me share this with you guys. Minister Farrakhan told me personally a few years ago, he wanted me to let those like yourselves know, whether they're white, black, it doesn't matter. Those in the UFO, ufological community who want a real disclosure, he wanted me to let all of those type of people know that they have an ally in the Nation of Islam.
I don't think they know that.
Most people don't know that.
Right.
They don't know that.
Right.
And that's because there have been so many barriers keeping the public and keeping the people from being able to encounter the true essence and message of the Nation of Islam, which is why I really take my hat off to you guys, because you have shown this genuine characteristic that you don't care about all the hoopla.
No.
You have sought to be able to engage us for yourselves. You're asking all the questions that, you know, you think need to be asked. And this is what those in power fear. Because
what about the criticism you guys have had? Hold on, about like anti-Semitic talks and LGBT community. There's been a lot of negativity from there, and I think that keeps people from going to you guys and reaching out for that.
That is the trick. That is the trick, because it's all lies. They are lies that we are more than willing to prove and dismantle and deconstruct on any platform. But you'll know that it's really a trick and a ploy that's used to keep intelligent-minded people like yourselves from engaging the Nation of Islam. You know, not just, again, not just our people, black people, but when reasonable thinking white people like yourselves are able to hear and engage for themselves, they are afraid that those strategic type of allies would be made. Hmm. And again, Minister Farrakhan told me, let those in that community, the ufological community, know that they have an ally in him and they have an ally in the Nation of Islam. We will talk truth to the government. Hell, we will expose and disclose the truth. If the government won't, we will.
I think that's fascinating. Do you know that talk he gave in Chicago recently? He had Don Schmidt there from our show, from Roswell.
Right, right,
from
right.
That's like such an unlikely ally, and I think it's something interesting.
Well, I mean, that says a lot.
You're the one that tapped into this great idea.
Yeah, I've actually been, like, for about 3 years, I've wanted to have yourself or somebody from the Nation of Islam on, not even just talking about UFOs, but just the religion, because I'm a big religious buff. I love understanding. I used to, you know,
when Tony's a snake handler, so
yeah, I was. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm going to grab my... No. I remember when I was a kid or younger, I would go to all these different religions because I just was so curious about learning who people are. And I think it's important when you learn who people are in their religion, it's easier to accept other people. But yeah, it's like you said, and I think, you know, like Ron, when we ask these questions and the people in the chat room, we appreciate you guys tuning in, if it's for the first time or for the 100th time or 500 times, or however many episodes we have. But they know that we don't always hold back on some of the questions, especially Ron. Ron will ask, he doesn't care who it is, and he's asked some of the people.
I gathered that.
Right.
I gathered that.
He's asked some of the biggest ones questions.
Well, I mean, that's what we want to know.
Yeah,
I mean,
And I think that's important, you know, is when people ask questions, you don't have to, nobody takes it personal. Like you said, if it comes from being genuine of wanting to know the answer.
And it is.
Yeah, of not being insulting. Right. There's a whole difference. And so we thank you, first of all, for coming on and being open to questions like this. Before we get out of here, because we just have a few minutes left, we always try to ask a few questions from the chat room, and people have been asking quite a bit this whole time. So if you don't mind us asking just a few questions from the chat room.
Let him tall off, Tony, for Christ's sake.
Right,
he's sweating over there.
Right. All right, so we have Frank Toe. Do African masks have any relations with so-called extraterrestrials or ancient gods?
Love this question.
What is your thoughts?
Sounds like an excellent question. I can't make a direct, you know, correlation, and certainly I wouldn't try to force a correlation and try to make something fit. You would have to ask those who specialize in African masks.
Okay.
But now they may be asking in regard to, if you're familiar with the Dogon tribe and their history and legends of having interactions with flying vessels and things like that, you know, so that it could be. But it's not something that I know about, and certainly I wouldn't want to speak on something that I have no knowledge of.
And the Kachina dolls here.
Well, there's also somebody says, were the crafts built by the tribe of Shabazz?
Well, not necessarily. We do know that this craft was built here on this earth. Part of it, we understand, was made in or near Japan. And those involved in its construction consisted of several thousand people. Hmm. Now, of course, those involved in its construction didn't necessarily know what the ultimate objective of this task would be. Only a select few was privy to that.
Sounds like Area 51. Sounds like today. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And they were paid. They were paid. They were paid well. So... And those involved in it consisted of the Aboriginal people of our planet that did consist of black, brown, red, and yellow. Hmm.
Interestingly also, Tony, how a lot of these things bleed over other little histories from different countries. Wasn't this made of gold? Like they used 15,000 pounds of gold or something? It was gold, right?
It was... They were paid in gold.
No. The craft was made of gold, I thought.
Oh, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
It says on the thing that part of it in Japan was made, part of it was made of gold, and they had to bring the gold.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used the term, I think he said it was made from the finest of steel. Hmm. It's a certain type of composition of steel that really is unbeknownst to the scientists of this world. You know, it is made from steel and from this earth. But it's a certain type of composition of steel that, and this may speak to why during those encounters like the Battle of Los Angeles, where we see that the wheels seem to be somewhat impenetrable, you know, and it does have, for lack of a better term, force field, if you will, around it, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that this wheel and these wheels have the ability to create its own atmosphere. Now, don't ask me how to do that. I'm not a scientist like that, but they have that capability, and that's why they can go in anywhere in space that they want. You know, the wheel only has to come to the Earth's atmosphere maybe once or twice a year to take in some of the oxygen. But other than that, it can go anywhere in space that it desires.
All right, since we're all being straight up here, why don't you, we're on Truth Be Told, why don't you tell us about this secret program that the Nation of Islam has about creating, developing anti-gravity?
Quote, quote, quote. We love these secret programs.
The Nation of Islam, that's not necessarily...
Wait, I'm losing your signal. What happened? Wait.
Uh-oh. No, we're kidding.
The Nation of Islam doesn't necessarily have too many secrets. Now, what you might be talking about is some of the
Justin Thomas asked us that question.
Reverse engineering programs that government entities and military entities have been implementing based on their observance of these crafts. You know, so much of the technology that has spawned in the world, we recognize and believe has been sparked from the observance of UFOs, and you have several who've admitted to that. I think it was John Lear, Bill Lear, or whoever.
No, John Lear, you're right. John Lear.
The Lear jet, which is one of the most, you know, advanced in terms of the flight world anyway. Mm-hmm. And he admitted that much of that was reverse engineering technology based off their observance of UFOs.
Wow. This is good stuff. And I have to say, it's, unfortunately, it's time to get out of here. But this was very interesting. We're going to have you back. We're going to have you back because there was more. There was a
y'all
lot more
questions.
Y'all
have been great, Meg. This has been fun. This has been fun. And we're going to have to do this again. Again, I truly, truly appreciate you guys, man.
Appreciate you,
I
too.
Think that this is really, in a sense, a good breakthrough in terms of dialogue, in terms of discussion. You know, you don't have to agree with everything.
Right,
but
right.
Just the fact that the discussion is being made, you know, and that there have been so many efforts outside of you all now, so many efforts to just to prevent the Nation of Islam from engaging.
Yeah, you said you had a hard time getting on shows, on certain shows, right?
Look at him.
Sorry.
Did bring that old wound up, Ryan.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I'm appreciative, man.
No worries. It's great, different. It's a great idea.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, this... I love learning new things.
Yeah.
You know, we work in the, besides just UFO, but we work in the UFO industry too. And we hear, you know, we've been thinking, we're like, we don't hear a lot of new stuff. We hear the same stories over and over and over. And you can't go, what's new? And they're like, well, 1940, you know.
And I like how this is such an unlikely bedfellows, if you will.
Right.
Like you wouldn't think to go there. You know what I'm saying? It just.
Right. I know what you mean.
I wouldn't think, let's book Dolan and this guy, you know what I mean? It's just, but yet that'd be a great compliment.
Oh, I think it would.
It's interesting.
I'm familiar with the works of Dolan, and even in my book, I certainly cited a lot of the research that he was diligent enough to find, especially as it relates to government involvement, government encounters, and cover up. I mean, a brilliant fellow that I would certainly love to be able to interact with.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. And please, everybody, if you don't know where to get his book, you can go to Amazon, but you also can go to nationbrothers.com and pick up the book, and please support him. I know you have a docuseries that you're raising money for, right?
Yes, yes. We have, and the information is on nationbrothers.com as well. But
you're almost there for your goal. You're getting close.
Yes, yes, man. And we're thankful. Doing everything independently. So I would give it about a year, something like that. And we really would have a very informative docu-series that would involve so much of this left-out information that doesn't make its way into mainstream discussion. And I think what we discussed today was just the tip. But there's so much more.
That's why we have to have you back. And we want to thank everybody for joining us. You know, we appreciate you. Again, without you guys, there's really no reason to show up in the studio. So we appreciate you. You can go to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Share this show. We'd love to have you share it with everybody you know. And for our podcast people, the people that just want to look at our ugly faces, but you can go and...
Which we recommend.
Yeah, please. You can download the Apple, iTunes, Google's, all the pretty much outlets. We're pretty much everywhere, even on radio.com now. But until next time, we appreciate you, Captain Ron and myself, and also our new friend here, Ilya Rashad Muhammad. So thank you, sir. We'll see you next time.
You bet.
All right. Take care, guys.